Chapter 33. The guards growled at us as we left town. One of them, the one named Dank Tank, shouted something about my mother as we rode back south. It's crazy what a difference only 5 charm points can do. We wouldn't reach the Shrill until it got dark, so we decided to wait until morning. The plan was to skirt the edge of the old city until sunset. We'd spend the time until night hunting and working on our experience. We'd overnight inside one of the abandoned buildings and head out at first light. With me mounted, we moved at least 3 times faster than before. Banksy zipped along, burning a deep rut in the ground. Clara flew alongside, easily keeping up with her wings. Banksy shuddered underneath me. He complained about the saddle for the 10th time in so many minutes. I was still getting used to the odd feeling. I'd ridden horses a few times in the real world, and I practically lived on the back of a horse in half the games I played. But this was nothing like that. This was like being whipped back and forth in a carnival ride. I'd received an unsteady debuff the moment I pulled myself onto his back the first time. It took several minutes for my stomach to settle.
Don't pull those things! It hurts my face! I know where I'm going!
Do you? Because it seems like you're headed toward those trees when we need to go up that hill.
Well, then why didn't you say so?
I am saying so. I'm saying so by pulling on the reins. That's how this works.
Why don't you just tell me where to go? You know, with your words. Tugging on the side of my face is a very aggressive way to do it.
Just go up the hill.
You see, that wasn't so hard.
He continued to complain under his breath for the next several minutes.
I think your pet has entered the surly teenager part of his development.
I know all about that.
Yeah, sure you do.
What does that mean? She didn't answer. We all seemed on edge. We pulled out of the hills by late afternoon and traveled along a wide field on the edge of the city. We kept a wary eye out for demons. This area was ripe with medium difficulty monsters. Clara and I took turns sniping at them from afar. Banksy, let's try burrowing. Don't go too deep. I just want to know how this works. Remember, he said I can't be underground for more than 30 seconds. The idea of going into the dirt on the back of something that could dig seemed counterintuitive. If I hadn't seen the much larger nerve agents do it earlier, I'd never believe it was possible. It seemed I'd be ripped right off the worm the moment he started to dig. Or worse, I'd tumble off of him as he turned back up to the surface, leaving me underground.
You sure about this?
Clara hovered next to me. Winky had returned a few minutes earlier. The bat looked between me and the worm and hissed gleefully, like she was excited at the prospect of watching me get buried alive. Do it!
Okay, Father. But don't die.
Banksy reared up, his mouth flanges splaying. I dug my boots into the stirrups. I clutched onto the reins for dear life as I flew up in the air, curved, and smashed face first toward the ground like I was doing a belly flop into a pool. Banksy moved easily into the dirt, traversing the rock just as quickly as he would on the surface. My world went black. I felt the rock and dirt and tree roots all around me disintegrating as they came in contact with my face. It felt odd, like I'd turned my bare face into a showerhead. But I wasn't getting wet, just dirty. A moment later, I was outside again, coughing as rock and dirt showered all around me. We were a good 30 meters away from where we started. Underneath, my saddle vibrated. Some blend of gears and earth magic combined to make the shield that enveloped me during the burrowing. As long as my butt remained in the saddle, and as long as I didn't remain underground for more than 30 seconds at a time, with at least another 30 seconds between diggings, I'd be safe.
That was really cool!
With some practice, it'll be a very useful method of sneaking up on somebody.
I hope so. Over the next several hours, we killed a few dozen monsters and a few pairs of demons, jacking our experience up a few notches. It was getting harder to level, but between the two of us and Banksy, we were a powerful team. Most everything that was green or yellow tagged went down easily. Clara was 4 levels ahead of me thanks to her ability to clear out entire encampments. There wasn't anything else like that on our way toward the Shrill, not without going out of our way. There was an infestation on the map in the middle of the city, smack between us and the kaiju. I had no idea what that meant, but the map indicated it was much too dangerous for me. By the time the sky began to darken, I was on the edge of level 20. By my count, I had killed almost 30 of the ant demons. The Zippers. Clara and I had collaborated on taking down a couple of these tough, horned alligator things that came from the city and charged at us. Also, the area was covered with small, easy-to-kill tortoise things that threw rocks at you if you got close enough. My new breastplate was powerful enough to deflect the trajectory of the rocks. Banksy took great pleasure in pouncing upon and cracking their shells. We caught sight of a new type of demon. They lurked within the abandoned buildings on the edge of the city, usually spying at us from broken-out windows and rooftops. These were knee-height demons, bright red in color with horned heads. They were armed mostly with spears, though some carried what looked like blowguns and handheld slings. None attacked, but the little bastards could jump. I watched a gaggle of them leap from the roof of one building to the next, a good 10 meters away. Each of them were yellow and red tagged, which was worrisome. It was usually no problem to kill a yellow-tagged monster when Clara, Banksy, and I worked together. But killing a horde of them would be impossible. What are those things?
I don't know. I've never seen them before.
Look, the flyers always avoid areas where they are.
Most demon kinds don't mix very well. Remember how I said there's something like 71 different demon lords, barons, and princes and whatnot? Each one of those guys commands his own legions. And we already know they don't always get along with one another, so it would make sense that their demons don't like each other too.
We found a large, abandoned building, right on the edge of town that appeared to be perfect. We waited, looking for the red demons. Clara sent Winky inside, and the little bat reappeared a few minutes later.
She says it's clear except the basement level, which has a few monsters lurking within.
That's reassuring. We approached the building carefully. There were no obvious entrances on this side, so we had to cross a short fence, crossing what I realized was the remnants of an old freeway. The cracked asphalt showed through in random places, but otherwise it was a flat area punctuated by ankle-high weeds. We reached the other side of the road and crept into the city.
Entering Neil Austin. Terry.
There were no suburbs or any other sort of gradual increase. It went from the empty plains to a thick wall of skeletal, decrepit buildings reminiscent of any urban metropolis. Some were nothing but bombed-out shells, and whole swaths of buildings were just gone in some areas. Nothing but smeared and pulverized bands of dust. I suspected if I were to look at the damage from above, it would indicate clear travel paths of a guardian. The buildings in this neighborhood were all about 20 to 30 stories high. Deeper into the city were higher buildings and a few places of note, like what appeared to be the remnants of a stadium or maybe an airport and a few tall, needle-thin towers. The bottom half of what once might have been a statue dominated the skyline. The buildings stretched out for miles and miles. According to my map, the city covered several hundred square miles. Despite the destruction, some buildings still appeared untouched. The gray, nondescript building we now faced seemed featureless, a building that was drawn as background filler. One of those buildings in older games that you'd never be able to actually go into. Office? Residence? It was impossible to tell from the outside. Nothing but gray blocks and windows. The front door had long ago rotted away, big enough to easily allow Banksy within. We crept inside, revealing a large lobby. A bank of what was probably once elevators stood on the opposite wall. It smelled of mold and must. A stiff breeze penetrated the lobby from the open door. rubble and rusted hunks of objects so old it was impossible to tell what they once were lay strewn across the lobby. Watch the floors. Make sure you don't fall through.
Let's see if we can go up a couple stories. Find an interior room, something defensible where we can wait out the night.
Clara pointed to an open doorway, revealing rickety-looking stairs. We should clear the basement first. I won't be able to rest if I know there's something crawling about below us.
Okay. Let me send Winky in to get a better look. She'd only sensed them earlier.
Go for it. In the distance, the shrill rumbled. We'd probably be able to see him if we went high enough. Looking at my map, the shrill appeared to be the only guardian who lived within the city. I wondered why. That was assuming there weren't more hidden ones lurking about. After the discovery of Moritasgus, I'd made a more deliberate survey of the 22 kaiju. 6 of them were missing. Of those, I strongly suspected where a few of them were. The fish-looking water creatures, the Dagon, had a large lake on the other side of the map, and their kaiju was a salamander thing called the Opera. Renault had mentioned it in passing once, of how they'd trained it to defend their own. So I knew it was probably in the middle of that lake. Similarly, I remembered from the character creation sequence that the kaiju of the Mole Men was a tentacled mole creature. Their main town wasn't too far from here, and I suspected their guardian was underground, just like Moritasgus was. Also, the distant town of Little Cibola seemed to be the only place other than Medina that was fully intact. It was a town of the mysterious Sundered, the technology-based humanoid robot things. Their guardian was not listed on the map. Neither Clara nor I knew what sort of creature it was, but I suspected it had something to do with their town's continued existence, especially so close to the rift. That left 3 missing kaiju, and any one of them could be hidden somewhere in the city. I used the opportunity to check up on Moritasgus and Orthrus. My badger had burrowed itself about 2 miles north of where Bast was currently skulking. Jenks Orthrus had followed at a distance for a while. The two-headed guardian had seemed to get into a spat with Bubalus, the kaiju that had taken up residence around the edge of the forest. Thanks to my map upgrade, I could now see that Bubalus was associated with the Brownie race, the diminutive fairy creatures who came into the game with built-in wings. I vaguely remembered a flying, hornet-like kaiju in that quick vision of all the guardians I'd had when I first signed in, and I suspected that's who that was. Either way, Orthrus had quickly dispatched the kaiju and then went on to follow Moritasgus. By the time Bubalus had regenerated, Moritasgus had managed to burrow into the field. He hadn't been bothered since. Orthrus had moved further south, sniffing around Bast for a while, but it didn't appear they'd gotten into any sort of scuffle, though it was hard to tell using just my map. After that, the two-headed wolf had returned to his home just west of the forest. And that's where he was now. If Jenk knew where we were, I had no indication. I still hadn't told Clara the full story. So much time had passed, it was starting to get too late.
Shit.
What?
Winky is dead. It happened suddenly. She'll regenerate in a minute. We can ask her what happened.
Great. Maybe we should find a different building. By now, full darkness had descended on the city. The sad and abandoned streets appeared terrifying in the low light. As I watched, something large rushed by, hurtling down the street as fast as a rocket. It moved so quickly, the only feature I could see was the bright red tag floating over its head. A minute later, something not too far away started squealing in pain.
She doesn't know what they are, but there are 3 of them in the basement. They look like human-shaped shadow women with extra long, extra thin legs and long, dirty hair. They crawl on the walls. And they have long and fast tongues.
It sounds like some sort of swamp witch troll thing. I eyed the stairs. Should I risk it? If I died, I'd get bounced back to Charnel, which would lose us half a day. Maybe a bit less. If I managed to get a look at one of them, I'd at least see their difficulty level. What the hell? I want to take a peek at them. I won't get too close.
Uh-oh.